the person that they're giving my name to. And to them, that's the most important thing. And I truthfully think that that COI relationship has changed to that in the last couple of years. And so it isn't this quid pro quo thing anymore. Like, you do this for me, I do this for you, you scratch my back. Like, that's just gone. It's all about truly helping somebody in a situation, or helping them with a goal, or their, or just their financial path, helping them get onto that right place. That's why when parents refer their children to you, that's how you know that you're there, because they're doing that handoff of like, this person's always taking care of me, please help my children, you know, even on the small aspects of getting them to start investing. It's just, they want to make sure they're on the right path.
And you're very true in terms of when your clients are referring you their children, that shows a lot of trust. And that trust and relationship doesn't take one day to build. Oftentimes, it may take years. I've worked with my clients' children as well. It does take a while. And unless you are on the same page with that same child, if you will, you may potentially lose them. Because if you are the advisors for the parents, the children sometimes don't want to work with the same advisor. So you do have to have quite a bit of trust and relationship in there. Would you be able to talk a little bit about, and I know that this might be a difference between men and women in terms of the COIs and referrals. I remember when I first came into the industry, there was really not that many women around in the industry, and I didn't have a women mentor at all. And I remember my very first conversation about how to get the center of influence around was exactly what you talked about, where there got to be quid pro kind of situation. If I give you something, you give me something. Do you see the difference between how typical female approaches from the center of influence differently compared to a male? Or do you think that this is more of changing in terms of how you build your relationship in the industry?
Yeah, it was interesting. I worked in an office, but when I started meeting with clients, I always gave them the option of coming to my office or for me to meet them in their home. And in my mind, I always felt comfortable walking into people's home because I felt like it also told a story that I might not get to hear, you know, within regards to their planning. You know, some of them had home businesses, you know, things like that. But what I always wanted to happen, which I heard was the thing that never works long term, is being able to get like the spouse, you know, to be involved in the meeting, getting the children to be your clients. So, you know, they talk about the boomers and how that money, you know, is going to be making that succession. And are you going to be able to keep that AUM, or is it going to go somewhere else? And so very early on, I felt like if I inputted myself into their home, then I would be in a comfortable scenario for them. Whenever people come into an office, they kind of feel like maybe they're on a time clock. They might feel uncomfortable. Where's the bathroom? You know, all of that stuff. And so very early on, I used like my female brain and was like, I just want to go into their home to where they're comfortable. And every single one of my clients, their kids are my clients, because their kids remember me coming to their house. They remember talking about finances. Their parents never like shunned them out of the room. I always brought them in as part of the conversation, you know, asking questions about where they wanted to go to college or, you know, different things. And I also encouraged the parents to talk to them about the money that they were putting aside for them for college and things like that. And so it's weirdly worked, but I have been able to capture that next generation of money. And whenever I ask, you know, why'd you pick me? They were like, my parents trusted you so much. They would like get so excited when you were coming over. They would get all prepped for the meeting, you know, make sure they had all of these things, you know, and they were like, it was an event, you know, that happened in our house. And I know some advisors, you know, have really told me that I've made my life crazy because, you know, I go to them, I don't have all my tools right in front of me, you know, and things like that. But I truthfully believe that that's what made me successful, because that was my ability to show how much I cared about their family, not just, you know, their individual needs. And so from a female perspective, that is something that I just think came natural to me. And I think it comes pretty natural to most female advisors when I encourage them, you know, to be in this business. And I talk to a lot of different college students that are looking at finance as a career. You know, I'm like, don't let anybody create your boundaries. You know, do what makes you comfortable. You know, if you want to do presentations, that's great, but don't do them if they don't make you feel comfortable. If you want to sit in front of people with questionnaires or blank pieces of paper or whatever, because that's how people can tell, like, if you're authentic. And if you do something that doesn't feel comfortable to you, people probably aren't going to get that warm, fuzzy feeling and start to feel like that relationship is building. So the best piece of advice I can give is do what makes you feel comfortable, because if you are shining in that moment, people are going to see that and they're going to be attracted to it. And that's going to make, that's going to be the thing that they're drawn to.
And you're right. The authenticity part of it does take, I don't know if it comes to you right away when you enter the industry, or does it take a while to get there? I know that it didn't come that easy for me. So it took a while for me to figure it out. And I like the fact that you mentioned about the, if there are certain, don't let that boundary, don't let the firm's boundary limit how you present. I do have one question regarding about, you mentioned about you going to clients' homes. I recall that because all my clients are business owners, so of course I'm in their office. I'm in their office and I'm meeting their employees and things like that. For today's environment, we know that we're all on Zoom and having meeting. Do you find it challenge, or do you find it you have to operate differently in today's environment? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Zoom was probably really one of the hardest things that I did in the pandemic, because you're right, I was used to creating that authenticity right across the table from somebody. So to try to create that over a video environment, very early on, like I had this like stark background behind me, or this really office-y looking, you know, thing. And, you know, behind me is pure chaos. And if you spend time with me, you understand that those two little people right there who aren't so little anymore are the biggest part of my life. And I think it's just when people, I had to take some of the things away that I thought was like Zoom protocol, and wanted to like really make my personality shine through and what I was about. And so it's challenged me a little bit, because now it's kind of interesting. I was never a presentation-based advisor. I was more of like a question and listening advisor, and then the presentation would come like way after. But now I have all these tools at my fingertips that as we're talking, I can go, oh, let's see what that looks like. Let me throw that up on the screen. And they're like, oh, that's so cool. And I'm like, yeah, if I change this number, if I change that, if we work a little bit longer, if we do this, this is what's going to happen. And I think it makes them also feel engaged, because they're sitting either at their computer or whatever. And so they can kind of have access to everything to be able to kind of have that conversation too. So I think your style can come out. You got to, again, get away from the boundaries, because if you try to be something you're not on Zoom, it's going to come out as well. As you know, Chowdy, this is my crazy self all the time. So when I try to be too proper, because this is being recorded and I don't know where it's going in the universe, then it's just not me. And if I rewatched it, I would probably be like, why did I say that? Or why did I do that? And so I kind of ditched, you know, all of those scared feelings about Zoom, and then said, okay, what can I do to make this, you know, more interactive and fun? And it's been a journey, that's for sure.
And I think that is quite some, that's a very important aspect that you mentioned. I believe that in the industry, in terms of financial services or financial planning, that your speed to adapt, whether or not is to client situation or technology situation or product situation or economic situation, really makes a huge difference to your clients, because your clients are looking up to you for some advice. And the ability for you to immerse yourself into the Zoom environment, still having that interaction and engagement with clients, that's actually quite incredible, because it's not an easy thing to do. A lot of the financial advisor as my client have told me that they have struggled at the very beginning in terms of how to use Zoom. They still go into their office, but they still use this. It took them a while to get used to that. But I think that over time, people start to realize, you're right, there is your personality still shine through. It really depending upon how you present yourself over the tech, or leveraging the technology, if you will. So thank you for that. And we know that, so center of influence and referral process, they all work in various different practice. What would you recommend in terms of helping people to integrate that into their practice? Meaning that it's not something that you do it at once, right? Like the school trips that you go to. It isn't a one-time trip that you go to. You kind of build that up over time. But how would you recommend people to do it if they haven't have center of influence or referral process in place? How would they integrate that into their own practice?
Yeah, I think we tend to look at referrals, you know, that they have to come from an existing client, you know, or center of influence, it has to like integrate into our business. And some of the best clients I have ever had are on the sideline of soccer and volleyball games. You know, and my kids always played team sports. And so we would spend, you know, Saturdays and Sundays and practices and things like that. And we would just be hanging out. And a lot of us were working, you know, we were sitting there with our laptops and, you know, and all of that. And what I think is we sometimes put too, you know, professional of a term on referrals and COIs. And I think people need to just understand that the ability to market yourself comes everywhere in everything you do. It's how you handle yourself at a PTA meeting. It's how you handle yourself when you're, you know, like you said, I was a dead mom, you know, for Girl Scouts for many years when my daughter was earlier. I was around so many different professions, you know, just at like derbies and Girl Scout cookie, you know, environments, that sooner or later, the conversation always turns to, what do you do for a living? And you know, and it's kind of funny because that's the part that scares all of us, right? Oh my gosh, what do I say? You know, my Italian mother-in-law used to tell people that I sold stockings and bonds, you know, and I had to crack up laughing but that's how she looked at, you know, and, you know, she immigrated to this country. She was so proud of her son and her daughter-in-law with what they were doing. But I'm like, so I sell socks and debt instruments, you know, I'm like, this is what I do. But it's just that thing of being able to understand that you're always, you know, in that environment where you can make an impression on somebody, and being able to do that, you know, people talk about your elevator speech, you know, what do you say to people, you know, and I think that that's another key thing that people just get so scared about, you know, they use words like, oh, I'm an investment, you know, I'm an accredited investment fiduciary, which I'm very proud of. But if I said that to somebody, they'd be like, okay. And they would never ask me a follow-up question. They'd be like, okay, that sounds really scary and smart, and we're just going to move on, you know, with that. And so, you know, what I spent years trying to say, like, how do I say that to people, what I do for a living? And, you know, so many times I've changed it up over the years, but I just basically, when people are like, what do you do for a living? I'm like, I help people build wealth through our relationship. And they're like, what does that mean? And that's exactly what I want to have happen. I want it
to be a follow-up conversation.
I want that follow-up conversation, you know, so that I can go, well, I'm very relationship-based. I work with all of my clients and I help them with building wealth. And I'm like, and building wealth is building $1. You know, it's just being able to go from being in debt, you know, to having a positive net worth. You know, people assume wealth is like millions, and it's not. Wealth is, you know, being able to have something, you know, that you can call your own. And when you can go through that conversation, then people are like, oh, wow, you know, so, but it has to be authentic, you know, and you have to figure out like what works for you. So the key thing I would tell people is, your world is your referral process, and don't let it get limited by what marketing strategies tell you to do. Just realize that the people that you share something in common with are probably going to be the best clients for you, because you automatically have something to talk about. So whether it's you're serving on a board or you're volunteering, you know, somewhere, you're sitting on the sideline, you know, at a sports game, you're a den mother, any of the things you do, you're part of a book club, anything you do creates that opportunity to talk to people about how excited you are about the things you do for your clients.
And that's important to remember, is that exactly right. Everything everyone does, there is a world surrounding you. If you know how to tap into it and leverage that and just be yourself in the process, you certainly will be able to get a lot out of it. At the same time, you're helping people. And mm-hmm. and like you, that 1 minute pitch, yeah, it took me a very long time to change over the year. And I still don't think that I'm perfect in that, but I don't think I need to perfect anything. Take it
definitely
as it,
not.
It is, right?
Definitely not. I still, when I say what I say, I'm like, oh, I could get better at that. Like, because right. when people ask me the follow-up questions, I'm like, ooh, that should be something, you know, that I add. But that was something that Canon taught me as well, was getting people to ask you, not making it seem like something you do doesn't require a follow-up question, but making it seem like, oh, intriguing, you know, like, oh, how do you build wealth? What do you do? You know, in that, and you know, the conversation goes awry anymore. I was in Utah last week spending time with my son and his friends, and they were like, did you buy GameStop at 15? I was like, no, I didn't. I'm like, have you been in a GameStop? I haven't been in a GameStop. So I said, I owned GameStop like 5 years ago when Cam played video games. But I said, I haven't owned, but I know what's going on with GameStop. So if you want to talk about it, let's talk about it, you know? And so that's the thing. I sat in a room with 10, 19 year olds, and we just nerded out about Reddit and GameStop and AMC and all that stuff. And I just helped them to understand a couple things. I didn't try to overtalk them. I tried to hear what they were hearing. And then the little parts they were missing, I was like, hey, what about this? And did you think about that? You know, and they were like, oh, I get it, you know. And at the end of that conversation, they're like, oh, are you leaving? And I'm like, yeah, I'll see you guys later. But it was just so much fun, because sometimes I think we assume they know nothing because of the age they are. And they know so much. They're so well read. And they are, I mean, they teach me stuff so many times. And it's just like, it's fun to be able to just be a fly on the wall in that conversation. And, you know, they may go home and talk to their parents and be like, oh my gosh, Cam's mom, she's the coolest. Like, we were talking about all this stuff. Who's your financial advisor? Who do you work with? You know? And like I said, you never know where anything can come out. One of the strangest referrals I ever got was, I own a timeshare condo in Tennessee that my family has been going to every summer. And in the pool, I've met families over the years and stuff. And one of the families was talking to the other family and they were talking about retiring and they're like, I'm retiring. I've got to move my 401k. I don't know what to do with it. And the one was like, oh, that's what Jenny does for a living. She moves money, you know, and stuff. And so,
how cool is that?
Exactly. So the thing is, it's kind of interesting of how you're like we both said, your whole world is your referral, and you just got to be able to tell your story enough that people grab little parts of it and are willing to extend it out to others.
And I think that one of the things that I learned from our conversation is that not only you listen to people, you help, you naturally get people engaged by asking them the questions, like what you were saying with the 19 years old, that you were asking them, how about this and that? And I think that's really incredible skill set to have, not only, and that's, I guess that's the basis of building the relationship. Regardless about where the situation that you are at, you're continuously building that relationship and asking that incredible questions. And when you were talking, I just thought about, wow, you are an incredible teacher. Really, really incredible teacher, because you are always sharing information. You're always getting people engaged, and you're always trying to help other people. And that shows through your way of interacting with people and having that very solid relationship. And thank you so much for sharing all that. We have limited time, and I wanted to ask one last thing, and that is, if there's only one advice that you could give to someone who is either already in the industry or thinking about going into the industry, what would that be?
Oh, it's not about settling on one mindset. You know, this industry, I would say you have to be a sponge. You know, where I started, I worked with an advisor, my mentor, sold stocks and bonds on a commission basis. And when he hit $1,000 in commissions, he went home that day. And so it was my job to tell him when he hit that mark. And he would wave goodbye and grab his coat, and whatever clients called in the rest of the afternoon were my responsibility. And he was a great mentor. He taught me so much about research and why I would want to own something. And I use so much of what he gave me, but I've never charged my clients a commission to buy a stock. You know, I work, you know, I'm fee for advice, and you know, that's how I do things. And I make it part of, we're in this together. And so quitting time happens when the last question is answered that day, you know, that a client might have of me, not based on, you know, my own internal goals of what that day looks like. And so I have had 30 plus mentors in my career. And so what I've done is just listen to all of them. And some of those mentors have taught me exactly what not to do, you know, in this business. And so we have to, like, always not focus in on having the perfect mentor, but it's about having so many mentors that they can give us a 360 view of what this business looks like, so that we have the ability to position ourselves in an authentic way in how we want to work with clients. And that has come from so many people. And I'm glad I was just open to listen to all different types of strategies, adventures that people have had in this business.
So having plenty of mentors, have basically the very open-minded, if you will, to kind of seek out how other people do things in the industry. And ultimately, you have to internalize it for yourself, because you have to be you. Not all the strategy will work for you, but you have to do that effort in able to get it to work for you. So thank you so much, Jenny. This is incredible. I wish we have more time to talk about this. I know that being in the industry and as successful as you, time is really valuable. So thank you so much for coming through today in terms of the interview. We're so glad to have all of you as well at the Next Gen Mentoring Forum. What an informative session. And I also wanted to have the opportunity to thank the California Lutheran University School of Management Financial Planning Program for sponsoring today's Next Gen Mentoring Forum. And at California Lutheran University School of Management, we offer MBA in financial planning, helps financial advisors pursue leadership position or grow their financial planning practice by deploying advanced financial planning, effective client communication, client counseling, streamlined practice management, as well as leveraging FinTech. Please sign up for our info session for more information on our program. And our next gen mentoring session is on March the 2nd at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Please join me to interview financial expert Julie Fortin. She is going to talk about a topic of how to integrating interpersonal neurobiology into financial planning. And thank you, everybody. Until then, we'll see you at the next Next Gen Mentoring Forum. Thank you.
Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you.